for tonight. Thank you for the midweek meal. Thank you, God, for Old Testament and New Testament. Every cross T, every dotted I is God-breathed. It's given by the inspiration of God. These are not fables or fairy tales. These are real, true life events, Lord, that you've recorded in this precious book called the Bible, that we as your children are to learn from those that have gone before us, that have walked by faith, and to see the incredible things that you have done for them and through them should encourage our faith today. With you, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. And I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would encourage us in our faith tonight. We don't have to fear anything, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. And there is absolutely nothing that can come against us that is greater than you, Lord. You are God. There's none beside you. And so strengthen our faith tonight as we look into your precious word. Through our brother Elijah and the things that you're going to show us here tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings 18. Little introduction. I always like to do a little bit of an introduction because there are some people maybe that missed last week, or some maybe here tonight or watching tonight. We don't know, you know, who's watching on YouTube. And so I just like to give a little bit of background to bring us up to speed to where we are. I think that's really, really important. Back in chapter 11, seems like a while ago, Solomon backslid. Solomon's fall back in chapter 11 was his heart turning away from the true and the living God to foreign women, to pagan women. Solomon had a problem controlling his flesh, and they turned his heart after other pagan gods. How sad. That saddens my heart. But I can understand, looking at our world today, how that can happen. I see that happening outside of the church, and I also at times see that happening in the church, where certain things will turn people's heart away from God. We have to make sure that we have the full armor of God on every day. Every piece is important. And if you notice, if you read about the full armor of God, every piece is on the front, it's not on the back, meaning we're always supposed to be moving forward in him and never turning back. And so these foreign women turned his heart away from God to pagan gods. How sad. Israel had followed the leader, if you would. And that's what America's playing today. We follow the leaders. And Israel had also turned their hearts away from God as well. They got caught up into idolatry, sexual immorality, sodomy, and all sorts of stuff, because their hearts had turned away from holy God. Other than King Asa, that we've seen over the past few weeks, every king that followed was more wicked than the previous king. Amazing how that happens. Things begin to compound. We can see that in other nations. We can see that in America today. In America today, sin is compounding majorly. I don't know if you've noticed. In chapter 16, Ahab then became the king of Judah, which is the southern kingdom. Verse 30 of chapter 16 tells us that Ahab, this is incredible, but it does not surprise me, Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all of those that went before him. And that's the way sin works. Sin never says enough. And it gets worse and worse and worse until it's completely eradicated. And sin for us can be completely eradicated on the cross of Jesus Christ, nailed to the tree. We have to take it to him. And the Bible tells us he will forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we don't, it begins to grow. And more, it begins to compound. And that's what we see happening to both the northern and the southern kingdom of Israel. Ahab took as his wife one by the name of Jezebel. And we're all familiar with that name. I remember even before I read the Bible, I had heard about Jezebel. And Ahab took as his wife Jezebel and went and served Baal and worshipped him. even setting up an altar in the temple of Baal in Samaria. Baal was the most popular Canaanite god. These gods were often fashioned in the shape of a bull. Baal the bull. And he represented strength, fertility, lust, power, and sexual pleasure. Isn't it amazing that those are the same gods that are being worshipped today, but under different names? Yeah. The study that we're doing in our men's class on Tuesday morning has to do with discipline in the area of lust. And we were discussing openly yesterday the things that we are tempted with, not just the men and women and children in our country today, just from the internet, from the television set, from the cell phone. It is amazing the sewer pipe that we have in our hand or even in our living room called the internet or television, things on there that years ago would have been totally, totally banned. I was talking about a movie called Gone with the Wind. Anybody remember that one? I think it was around 1932. They banned that movie because it used the word damn. Can you imagine that? And look at the filth we have pouring out of our television sets today. Yeah, I mean commercials, programs, movies, everything. And so they believed that Baal was a god also of the rain and the harvest. And so last week in chapter 17, the true and living God, whom we all know, sent Elijah the prophet to King Ahab with a message telling him that there would be no dew nor rain upon the land until God said so through Elijah. And God then sent Elijah away to the brook Cherith by the Jordan River. And he waited there for instructions by the Lord. And it's amazing how God provided for Elijah there. Brought meat and bread to him through the ravens. Imagine that. They would fly in with bread and meat and all that he needed. It is amazing how Jehovah Jireh takes care of our needs. He's our provider, and he provides in incredible ways sometimes. And so Elijah was God's chosen instrument to bring idolatrous, adulterous Israel to her knees. And God has ways of doing that, doesn't he? God is going to stop the rain and bring a drought upon the land. And so here in verse 1, the word of the Lord now comes to Elijah, and it says, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. A three-year drought. No dew, no rain for 3 years. I can't even imagine what that's like. They're talking about this drought going on in California right now. It's funny, last week I gave the message about Elijah going to Ahab and telling him no rain and a drought's coming. And I opened up the paper on my phone the next day and it said we're in the worst drought in California in 1,200 years. I thought, wow, that's timely. And I got news for you. California deserves to be judged right now for the sin that we're involved in, just like Baal. All of the things that Israel was caught up in, I think we're worse because we have other ways of promoting filth and idolatry and all of these things that our nation is caught up in today, things that I can't even mention from the pulpit. There's some TV commercials I can't even mention from the pulpit. Crazy. And so here we see in the first verse, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. Many days. It was 3 years. Israel had been without rain for more than 3 years now. When God says to Elijah, go present yourself to Ahab and give him, if you would, this is my own paraphrase, go to Ahab and give him the weather report. Weather channel here through Elijah. One thing about God's weather report, it's always accurate. It's not real accurate on TV anymore. We watch AccuWeather, but AccuWeather isn't always accurate. amazes me. And so Elijah was very courageous. And when we look at his life, initially back in chapter 17, having to go face to face with Ahab, you know, Ahab could have taken him out, could have killed him right on the spot. Elijah was a very courageous man. Why? Because his faith and his trust and his strength came from the Lord. And you know what? If you have the person of the Holy Spirit living in you, you don't have to fear anything. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I don't fear anything. Because he who lives in me is greater than he that is in this world. And here we're going to see even later on, he's going to face 850 prophets all alone. And he didn't even care. He obeyed God's word and he went and confronted them. And I feel the same way. Whatever God brings my way, I don't have to fear. There are sometimes, yes, we do fear a little bit, but man, when God takes care of the situation, when God defeats the enemy, it's like, man, you're doing your happy dance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You got me through it. And he's the same yesterday, today, and always. He never changes. And you and I should have the same faith that Elijah had. He was but a mere man, and God used him. And God still to this very day uses mere men and mere women for his glory. And so here we see he was a very courageous man, as his ministry put him in some extremely dangerous situations. First of all, going to Ahab and telling him there would be a drought in the land, back in verse 1 of chapter 17, until he said it would end. Man, can you imagine? He went to him face to face and told him. And now here, after 3 years, look at verse 2, where Elijah again comes face to face with the wicked king with a severe famine in the land. And so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. And there was a severe, and when God says severe, he means severe. There was a severe famine in Samaria. And so here we are after 3 years. I can't even imagine what it looked like. No water in the fields anywhere. And here now with this severe famine, he doesn't yet come face to face with Ahab, but he obeys the word of God, and now he's headed that way. And further on in our chapter tonight, Elijah will have to deal with 850 prophets on Mount Carmel. 850 prophets, 850 to one. But you know what I've learned over the years? You and God are greater than any army. Yeah. You and God are greater than anything that you have to face. But sometimes, unfortunately, today we look at numbers. We look at statistics. We look at figures. Oftentimes, man, God does things in my life and I go, go figure. You know, because it's him. It's all him. And he does do incredible things to strengthen our faith. And when I read about Mount Carmel, I can picture in my mind Mount Carmel, because five different times I've stood on Mount Carmel. It's incredible to stand up there and read chapters like this and look down in the valley to the Valley of Megiddo, where the last great war on the planet is going to take place, Armageddon. I've stood and looked at Megiddo. And so here we see 850 false prophets are going to come face to face now in a few moments with Elijah. But you know what? Elijah was a man of tremendous courage, tremendous strength. And it wasn't his courage. It wasn't his strength. It came from the Lord. And so he was a man of tremendous courage because he was a man of tremendous faith. And when God told him to do something, without question, he did it. Do you ever question God when he tells you to do something? Do you ever have doubts? You ever just flat not do it? Unfortunately, all of us are guilty of that at times. Lord, is that you? Really? You telling me to do that? And then we look at ourselves. I tell you what, if God tells you to do something, look at yourself, you're defeated already. We need to step out by faith when God tells us to do something and trust him to do it. But unfortunately, we're self-centered. So again, look at verses 1 to 6. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. And so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of Ahab's house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab had said to Obadiah, go into the land, to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock. And so they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And so here again, we see God working on both ends of the situation. We've seen that a lot in the book of 1 Kings. When God commands his people to do something, he gives us the full picture. We have the account here in God's word, and we can see how God works on both ends. Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now. Let me encourage you. God is working on both ends. God has the whole situation in hand. Nothing can ever take God by surprise. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows everything, the beginning and the end. He knows everything that's going on. And that's another reason we need to be strong in our faith. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so here again, God's working on both ends of the situation. And with Elijah, he says, go present yourself to Ahab. And on the other end, Ahab calls Obadiah to go into the land and look for grass to feed the livestock to keep them alive. And so you see God's working on both sides of the situation. And so Ahab goes in one direction, it says, and Obadiah goes in the other direction. This is not the Obadiah, by the way, that wrote the book of Obadiah. This was just his name. It doesn't say that he was necessarily a believer, but he did fear God. And he was in cahoots with Ahab. This Obadiah was over the house, it says, of Ahab. This Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. This Obadiah had actually saved 100 prophets when he put them in caves. And he kept them from Jezebel, who was at that time massacring the prophets of the Lord. Can you imagine that? What a wicked, wicked lady this woman was. But I got news for you. She's going to get hers. Obadiah had hidden them 50 to a cave and fed them with bread and water. Look at verse 7. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him. Gee, what a coincidence. And he recognized him and fell on his face and said, is that you, my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, it is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. And so he said, how have I sinned that you're delivering me, your servant, into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. When they said he is not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah is here. And it came to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? See, he's trying to tell about his good works because he's afraid he's going to die. And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah's here. He will kill me. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So here we have, like I said, God's working on both ends of the situation by divine appointment. While Obadiah was out in the land searching for grass to feed the livestock, he suddenly meets Elijah. And immediately he falls on his knees in reverence. Elijah instructs Obadiah to go and tell Ahab that Elijah is here. And as we see in our text, immediately Obadiah is struck with fear of Ahab killing him. Obadiah thought that Elijah was delivering him to Ahab to kill him for some sin that he had committed. Isn't it amazing the way people think sometimes? And sometimes people have a fear of God that don't know God, and it's then that they think, oh, it's probably because of some sin that I committed that now I'm going to be punished. And that was not the situation here. If Obadiah was a believer in the true and the living God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he would have believed his brother, if you would, Elijah, and he by faith too would have gone and done what was told him to do from the prophet. But because he was steeped in his own sin, because he didn't have a relationship with the true and living God, he lived in fear. And that's often the case with many non-believers today. They live in fear. And you know what? That should not be the case of believers today. We are not to live in fear. And so here, he thought Elijah was delivering him to Ahab to kill him for some sin he had committed, and that the Holy Spirit would all of a sudden catch Elijah and take him away. And of course, Ahab would think, oh, Obadiah is lying to me, and it'd certainly put him to death, kill him. He even tells Elijah of the good deeds that he did, trying to make up for it. But Elijah assures him in verse 15 that as the Lord lives, I will surely present myself to him today. As the Lord lives, what a wonderful statement. When I ponder that in my own personal life, as the Lord lives, our God is alive. As the Lord lives, we can take every single promise that he gives us all the way to heaven. As the Lord lives, we can depend on his love and his grace and his mercy, his divine protection for each and every one of us. As the Lord lives, he lives today in you and me. And if there's a time in the history of the church that we should really walk by faith and not in fear, it's today. We live in exciting times. You ever stop and wonder why the Lord brought us to life here in this time in history? As I've talked about over the past few months going through Scripture, I just really sense the return of the Lord very soon. And here we are, getting ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We're alive now. We're Christians now. We're being fed now. We're being strengthened in our faith now to go and take the gospel out there to a world that's perishing. I just so sense in my heart that the return of the Lord is so soon. And again, you've heard some of the reasons over the past few months. I'm not going to go over them again. But isn't it neat that the Lord has brought us into history right before the finish line? Wow. Verse 16 again. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Verse 17. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, look at this. This blows me away. I've got this circle, I got a star next to it, and I got it in red. Is that you, O troubler of Israel? Look, isn't that just like the devil? You know, here again we see Satan, the father of the lie, the accuser of the brethren, accusing God's holy servant of troubling Israel. It wasn't Elijah's fault that Israel was troubled. It was King Ahab and others that preceded him. Verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Whoa. And so here again, isn't it amazing? Doesn't it blow you away? The lies that Satan comes up with. And you know what? He's filling our nation and the world today with lies against the church, with lies against Christians. We are now in this world at times being accused as being terrorists. Doesn't that blow you away? Just like here, we are looking for the good of America. We are pointing to the only solution to America coming back to what it was initially. One nation under God. But yeah, look at the way people think today. How sad. And it's that way throughout the world today. You look at what's going on in Canada, just above us. How sad. It breaks my heart that pastors are being arrested for trying to pervert people that are caught up in sinful lives. We're trying to set the captives free, and the pastors in Canada are being arrested as terrorists for trying to change somebody's life. Sad. In all reality, in all actuality, Elijah is one of the best friends that Israel could ever have. And look what Ahab's accusing him of. Man, he's one of the best friends that Israel could ever have. And you know what? He's sticking his neck out for Israel. He's actually laying his life on the line for Israel because he loves them and he wants to take the truth to them so that they can be set free. And look at Elijah. He doesn't back down. And you know what? When we're confronted with the enemy, we don't have to back down either. We don't. We really don't. He wasn't fearing for his own life. And he gets right up in Ahab's face. Look at verse 18 again. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have. And that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed Baal. Whoa. Go Elijah. You know, he tells it like it is. And that's why I think in America today, we need pastors that are going to preach the word of God and tell it like it is. Not in anger, not in a judgmental spirit, but with a broken heart, speaking the truth in love because we love our nation. And we want to see them turn back to God. But I've got news for you. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to speak the truth in love. And when God says it, he means it. And that settles it. I'm not looking for man's opinion. I'm looking for God's truth. And we know what God's truth is. And it's only God's truth that's going to set the captives free, period. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And he tells it like it is to old Ahab here. And then he says in verse 19, therefore send out and gather all Israel. Bring all the people to me on Mount Carmel and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who was, by the way, a Canaanite goddess, the goddess of fertility, and bring the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Oh, man. Whew. And so in verse 19, he challenges Ahab. Bring the 450 Baal prophets. Bring the 400 Asheroth prophets up to Mount Carmel. And we will see who the true and living God is. And you know what? We know the true and the living God, and we don't have to shrink back or back down. Nope. We know who the true and the living God is. And look at how he was outnumbered. And not only that, all Israel was there, and they're all in a backslidden condition. And so now in verses 20 to 24, the contest is going to begin. With all of the children of Israel, all of the prophets, they're all gathered on Mount Carmel. And notice, verse 20, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? Whoa. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. How sad. There was a silence when he said, if the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is, follow him. And nobody spoke a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And so here we see the contest is going to begin, and Elijah lays it out. And immediately Elijah, you notice here, challenges them and accuses them of faltering between two opinions. Either God is God or Baal is God, and you have to choose. The same choice is there today. You are either going to serve the true and the living God, or you are following false gods. I'm going to lay it right out there. You know, you either have God in your life, the true and the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ, who came into this world to die on the cross for you and your sins and to put your sins away, and who was buried and rose on the third day, or you're going to serve the God of this world. And guess who that is? The God of this world is Satan. And so here we see, he says, hey, you guys are faltering between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. Nobody says a word. And so Elijah gives instructions for the contest in verses 23 and 24. And so the contest is going to begin. Notice 24. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now they speak up. And we know, don't we, because we know the true and the living God, that false gods, pagan gods, can do nothing. Do you know that? Do you really believe that? There's only one God. I'm going to put my ribbon here, and I'm going to turn to what David wrote in Psalm 115. It's a great psalm, and he writes about idolatry. This is what David writes. He says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold and bulls, the work of men's hands. And you know what? A lot of the gods that are worshipped today are the gods of the work of men's hands. Seriously. People worship everything and anything. Everybody has an idol. It's whatever is seated on the throne of your heart. That's what you worship. The work of men's hands. Listen to this. David writes, they have mouths, but they do not speak. Imagine that, serving gods that don't speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. He also says they have ears, but they do not hear. That's kind of eerie. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Listen to this. Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. And what he's saying very clearly, if you worship these false gods, you're just like they are, stupid. Can't see, can't hear, can't speak. And we worship the true and the living God. Doesn't that blow you away? And so here we see, the contest has begun. It's all been laid out by Elijah. The Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Notice what happens now. The contest begins. Verse 24. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, And the God who answers by fire, he's God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull, which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Imagine that. What, about 6 hours or so? Wow. Saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. What a surprise. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. The original language in Hebrew means they were dancing around the altar they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. One of the original Hebrew terms, maybe he is indisposed. I don't need to expound on that one. Isn't that crazy? Look at this. Prophets of Baal. What a sight. And there Elijah stands watching these guys. 450 of them. For 6 hours. Calling on Baal. No answer. No voice. No one answers. So now they start leaping and dancing. And all of a sudden, there is a voice. But it's not Baal. It's Elijah in verse 27. He mocked them. Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating or he's busy or he's on a journey or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. Wow. Go, Elijah. He's making a mockery of these guys. But you know what? Now it gets even more intense. I remember the first time I ever read this, I thought, man, this is nuts. Look at verse 28. And so they cried aloud, cutting themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. Man, oh man. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. You've heard our story, how we spent 12 years in this little area, this little town of Vermont. There was a young lady, that's what this reminds me of, that lived in that town that was demon-possessed. And every time she needed an answer from her God, she would cut herself. And she had cuts all over her whole body. She eventually bled to death. And so when you see stuff like this, sometimes it's hard to imagine. But I got news for you. There's people that worship pagan gods in this manner. Unbelievable. Man, aren't you glad that we live under grace through faith? That the only blood that has been shed is through Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me and for our sins. Once and for all, he bled and died for you and for me so that our sins could be put away once and for all. And we serve a God that loves us, filled with grace and love and mercy. But look what we see here. This is crazy. Man, more intense, isn't it? Look what they're doing. There's no voice. Nobody answers. No one paid attention. Nobody home. Why? Because it's a false pagan god. Now, okay, Elijah, you're up. Look at verse 30. Then Elijah, I love this, you know. There's some incredible stories in this book. And like I said earlier, they're not fables. They're not little kids' little Sunday school stories. Yeah, we tell them to the kids in Sunday school. But these are real life events. This is the real thing. This is an account of actually what had happened. Look what happens here. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, tribes of Israel, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then, with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Check this out. And he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. Check this out. And said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And so the water ran all around the altar, which he also filled the trench with water. And he's going to call fire down from heaven. We know, you know, when you go camping, we love to camp. We build a campfire at night. We don't pour water all over the wood and all over the campfire. No. But you know what he's doing here? He's showing how great his God is. He's doing what God told him to do. Totally contrary to human nature. Totally contrary to, you know, the things of this world. We know that if you're going to make a good fire, you better have some dry wood, you know, and everything's got to be just right. If you've ever been camping, had a lousy campfire, it's awful. You know, the wood's not really dry and you got all the smoke. Everybody's coughing and choking, trying to roast their s'mores and all, you know. There's going to be some roasting going on here, but ain't going to be s'mores. Yeah. Notice. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Like I said, pouring all that water on there and filling the trench, and all, God told him to do that. And you got to give Elijah credit. He didn't question God. God, what do you mean? I want to see the fire lit here. Why are you telling me to put water all over this thing? Even the sacrifice, poured water all over the sacrifice. But you know what? He did exactly as the Lord told him to do. I have done all these things at your word. Man, I wish I could say that in my own personal life, that I do all the things that God tells me to do at his word. Man. Oh, that we could bat 1,000. But notice what happens. Hear me, O Lord, verse 37, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Oh, man. God took everything, including the stones. Man, all of it. Fire of the Lord fell and consumed the whole thing. Isn't God incredible? This is a true story. Like I said, this isn't just some fable, some fairy tale. I wonder what Elijah thought. You know? He had done all that. He had soaked it with water. He filled the trench and the whole thing. But you know what? He did all the things that the Lord commanded him to do. And all of a sudden, the fire comes down and consumes everything. Check it out, verse 39. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That sounds like a good title for a sermon. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. These were all of the people that were caught up worshiping Baal. These were all of the people that had turned their back on God. These are all of the people that didn't open their mouth. When he said, if the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. They were silent. Why? Because they really, really, really weren't convinced. But they are now. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. To me, that's one of the best places we can be, on our face. On your face is the place. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them all. Whew. Incredible price to pay, would you say? Yeah. Your sin will find you out. And man, even being 451 with the prophets of Baal, look what happened. Took them down to the brook Kishon and executed them all there. Wow. Watch this. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. We know the seven is the number of completion. Then it came to pass, the seventh time he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And so he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Quite a rain is coming. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. And it was a heavy rain, so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Wow, the drought now ends. Look what God did. Look what God had to do to get Israel's attention. Put them through over 3 years of drought, no water. Dried up the whole land. And God had to show them through the prophet Elijah that he is the true and the living God. The rain comes. How did it come? Through repentance. When Israel repented. And when they eradicated the enemy. Confession of sin, obedience to God's word, recognition of the true and the living God, it always brings healing and blessing. And you know what? The same holds true today. If God is going to heal this nation, we need to repent. I believe there's a drought in America, but it's a spiritual one right now, and it very well could become a physical one. We need to repent. We need to eradicate the enemy. You cannot toy with sin. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. We need to confess our sin, meaning we need to take responsibility for our sin. Also, we need to obey God's word. My prayer for the United States of America is that God's word would return to the church. And how sad it is, there are many churches today that call themselves churches. We talked about that in Revelation chapter 3 and 4. That there are many churches today that are lukewarm. Many of them are corrupt. All sorts of things are going on because America is turning their back on God. We need to get back to obeying God at his word. Is there any better place to be? Look what happened with Elijah when he obeyed the word of God. He didn't have to fear anything. And you and I as believers, I believe us here and those watching, those that are believers all over the world today, are not living in fear because we know who we serve. But fear is gripping America and fear is gripping the world like never before. Look what's going on now with Russia and the Ukraine. Things are heating up quickly. We need to recognize the true and the living God, that he is God. And you know what's going to happen when we do that? He will heal and bless this land. And he will pour out his living water. That's my heart cry. That's my prayer. Will it happen? I don't know. But all I can do is pray according to God's word and what I read in Scripture. And I would hope you do the same thing. Pray for those in office in this nation. How sad it is. We have many, you know, and I'm not going to name names or point fingers. But we have many people serving in leadership positions in America that are just like Ahab. And just like the people of Israel or some Americans today, they've turned their back on God and they're serving false gods today. We need to get back, like it says on our currency, to being one nation under God, or I guarantee you, we will be one nation under. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this time together here tonight. Thank you that you give us the truth. And I think it's so important that we take heed, that we learn from history. And there are many people today, unfortunately, that think history is history. But it applies to us today. And I pray, Lord, for those that lead this nation, that they would repent and turn back to the true and the living God and quit serving Baal and all the other false gods that are in this world today. Help us, God, I pray. I beg you in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit to draw us back to you. Would you do that, please? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.